You're listening to 66.6 FM, Radio TOVH, The Flush.
Well, hi, everybody. It's me, Joe Thrashenkill, and you're listening to the Toilet of Hell radio show. I got a couple of guests. We got the Golden Boy, 365 Days of Horror, otherwise known as Jordan. Jordan, how you doing?
The Toilet of Hell radio show host car curse continues and has now moved on to me.
What's the haps?
I went to get my car for its inspection, and not only did it fail, but it failed miserably. Like, multiple things that take multiple fixes that will cost multiple thousands of dollars.
I can't believe that you're bothering to get your car inspected during a pandemic. I figure they can just fucking chill on that. You know, I'll get my car inspected when this is over, right?
I think there was like a two or three month grace period, but the results would have been the same now versus September.
I mean, still, that's a September problem. You can worry about that shit then.
But it's still a problem.
I guess if you look at it that way, then everything's a problem. Christ. Negative Nelly over here. So how much dough is that going to cost to get the little sticker on your car?
Like thousands of dollars. And my car is almost 20 years old, so it's kind of like, all right, let me see if I can get it inspected at like some local garage. And the guy can just be like, yeah, whatever, it's fine. Or, you know, oops, I dropped a few Mr. Lincolns and everything works out.
Yeah,
and if that doesn't happen, then it's time to get something new, and by new I mean used.
Yeah, how about like a nice like a Dodge Challenger or something like that?
A Dodge Dart.
Hey, we got Breno here as well. Breno, how you doing?
Oh, okay. We got Breno here, put me in the corner.
Sorry, buddy.
Put me in the corner for car talk, man. I love car talk. I could tell you all day not to fix that shit. Don't do it. Just don't.
I really liked listening to car talk when I was a kid. I think I would have liked it a lot more. I would have liked it a lot more if their answer for every caller was like, well, here's how you can bribe the inspection guy, or here's how you can hide this shit.
Do you have inspection in Texas, Joe?
Yeah. I'm just not going to do it until the pandemic's over.
Yeah. And I feel like if you get the rejection sticker, Jordan, you can probably roll with that shit for a while.
The thing. I didn't even get a rejection sticker.
Oh.
They didn't put anything on it. I just have my old, faded, this is expired sticker on it. And then the way that I assume most states do this is every year is a different color. So it's an easy way to pick out, like, oh, you have the red sticker. They're all blue and yellow now, so.
Right. Well, I mean, that's odd. Do they just not even bother because they didn't want you even driving around for the week or month or so to get it fixed? I mean, what's the...
I didn't ask. I was honestly too shocked at the results and how much it would cost to fix all this. I, like, you know, walked out of the place in the stupor, like, what the fuck am I gonna do now?
They probably were too. They were like, oh my god, this guy's driving.
To get me to sell the thing already. I'm just like, yeah, that's not gonna happen right now.
Oh, they were trying to buy it off you.
Yeah, well, they wanted to trade it in so that I then have to buy something right there, and they fix it up for $2,000 and then can we sell it, because it actually has low mileage.
Yeah, I smell bullshit.
That's what I'm thinking too, so that's why I'm going to bring it to someone else and see what's what. Like, I'll fix one or two things, that's fine, but like, this was a laundry list of, oh, this is leaking, this is rotting, this is compromised, and it's just like, we'll see about that.
I used to be a stickler for the sticker, but my wife just recently made it through 5 years without getting her car inspected. So
wow.
I begrudgingly have to give her respect and say, like, maybe you're right. Maybe you don't have to do this shit.
Only in Texas, I feel. I mean, I feel like my personal record is probably a year and a half of just rolling without giving that kind of a fuck. But when you do finally get pulled over, it is a big deal.
Yeah, I got it when I was like 19, because I was a month overdue on my inspection, so they pulled me over like in the middle of the night and then made me go through a whole battery of like suspected DUI drills.
Oh, fun. All cops are buddies.
Yeah, that's how that saying goes. Anyway, we got a show about metal, I guess.
Somewhere
are metal.
Yeah, whatever. Do you want to start off with something that's metal adjacent, but not even really?
Yes. Apparently, Sully, our boy Godsmack Sulyona.
Sulyona
had something to say about Joe Biden. So apparently, he was on some kind of a podcast that looked like it was filmed on somebody's filthy kitchen table.
That's how most podcasts are recorded, yeah.
I guess so, yeah. It looks like they're just kind of eating over, like, Moe's Southwest Grill or something, and they just are talking about bullshit. It's called Hometown Sessions. Episode 18. So Hometown Sessions is not clearly, like, something that's been around for a long time if they're only on episode 18, but they got a big name on there. We got Godsmack.
Big get. I mean, unless Sulyona just knows the fellers at Hometown Sessions, I guess.
Could be his
show. From Quincy, kid.
Yeah.
I don't know. So Jordan had brought this to my attention, and he requested that we do a dramatic reading because Jordan assumes that I have a good Boston accent. I don't, but that's what's going to make this so much funnier.
All right. Well, less talking like a normal guy, more talking like some kind of ape from the Northeast.
That's right. It's like, sorry I'm late. I was on the Mass Pike going 97 miles an hour. I was in my 1996 Subaru Impreza. I had a flat tire. I was just fucking surrounded by grandmas driving only 104.
I was late to go commit a hate crime with Mackie Mack.
So I guess this guy said something about how when you get a Democrat in office, this COVID-19 thing is just going to disappear, right?
Yeah,
that makes
sense.
I think the implication there is that it's all made up. It's all a conspiracy. And then the moment all of a sudden a Democrat is in office, it all gets better and the system stops there. So then,
if there's one thing that Democrats are known for, it's having well-oiled machines that can hide the truth in all of these dead bodies.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. They're great at it.
Just to create a global crisis and kill hundreds of thousands just to embarrass somebody whose suit doesn't fit right.
Just to put in Joe Biden, of all people, as president.
Which is a big ask, I gotta admit.
It was worth, like, making 50 million people lose their jobs and God knows how many people become homeless just so we could get our man, Joe Biden, there.
Here's what Sulyona has to say about that to the host, kind of implying this. He says, I couldn't have fucking agree with you more. I've been saying that since the beginning. It's so politically driven. It may not be gone completely, but we're going to see exactly where this country stands. You watch that, though, on November 4th, we'll see exactly what's going on. If Donald Trump stays in office, COVID's going to be a big, messy pain in the ass. And there's going to be more people burning down Wendy's feckin' restaurants. Wendy's feckin' restaurants. I want to go and I want to get my feckin' Baconator at fucking 2 in the morning. After a wild bender, you know, I want to go get it at my Wendy's fucking restaurant. If Trump fucking is gone, all of a sudden they're going to have this miracle vaccine that those fucking liars have been holding on to. I don't want people to think we're partisan towards one way or the other, because what we're partisan towards is just making sure that country is a good country to live in, and this shit doesn't get out of control, because no one likes to see these radical mob people exploiting these protests, which, by the way, I don't have a problem with. I don't have a fucking problem with. I've said that before. But what I have a problem with is people piggybacking onto it and doing other shit because they already have alternate agendas. Not just ruining the protests, but ruining the country. Ma, shut the fuck up! I'm doing a dramatic reading! Are you going to tell me that Biden's going to win this thing? Sully asked rhetorically. Whether it's... I just like that Sully is asking something rhetorically. Whether it's Trump or not... Biden's gonna be the guy? Fucking Biden? That guy can't even remember his wife's name. Fair. Right now, the people that are trying to make noise are the people that are afraid that they're gonna have the right president so they can control the president to do what they need to do in the country. You got it? Alright, so what they're doing is they're trying to make so much noise so they can say, Trump's going down and Joe Biden's the guy. But what if hope is going on is that when it comes for the election, I hope all the people that are silent right now just bombard this thing and make sure, at the least, And then it just stops. One more paragraph, and I think we're okay. I don't care if Trump stays or goes. That's what he says. He doesn't care. But do not let Biden control this country. Because Biden controls this country, he's not really controlling it. It's all the people pulling the puppet strings that are going to control it. I guarantee you we're going to be really close to losing this country if that dude gets in office. And it's not going to be a fun place to live. What used to be one of the greatest countries in the world, right now, it's an embarrassment. People are laughing at us all over the globe. Even the crazy countries that we sit there, we watch the news sometimes because they're behind people and doing this radical shit. We're like, wow, man, I don't want to live over there. Now, all of a sudden, those countries, they look at us and they're like, what the fuck is going on in America right now? Those people are out of their mind. Thank you.
God, he's so close to saying a slur.
I know. He wants it so bad.
He can taste it.
Yeah, it's just,
it's like a Sam Adams summer lager.
Just doing that accent for more than a minute and a half makes me want to say a slur.
Anyone's. I appreciate that he started going in on the protests and he had to stop himself, like, which I don't have a problem with, by the way, except for all these people. it's pretty good stuff. I also like his call to people, like, all of you people that are silent right now, you need to be not silent in the future. I'm like, who are these people that are being silent? Like, that would be refreshing.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure most people are not silent, regardless of what they're not silent about. Everyone's yelling and screaming and horrified right now.
Yeah, but man, it couldn't have been a better crew of guys on Hometown Sessions, like Sully Erna just chopping it up, saying, like, you know, we need Trump to win, but I'm not going for Trump. And just these pink fucking marshmallow dudes just nodding their jowls in amusement.
Refreshing bar stool.
Just writing down his Grindr order.
Oh, God.
Extra mayo.
I don't. I guess I never thought too much about Godsmack, but when did Sully Erna become like a political kind of guy? Was it when he heard that his music was being used to torture prisoners in Guantanamo? He's like, that sounds like the right ticket. Put me down.
I think it was during the like Bush Iraq War era that he started speaking up about it. Kind of like Avenged Sevenfold. It's kind of like, yeah, he's our guy. He's pretty good. I like this. Boo Dixie Chicks.
Yeah. I mean, let's not forget that Godsmack provided the soundtrack to those shitty Navy commercials.
Oh, fuck. I forgot about that. Yeah.
Yeah, dude. In the United States Navy, you can learn to be the biggest dick in the world.
And we can really tie so much of like the rot in American culture back to that specific moment. Like, I think younger folks maybe that didn't grow up like in the period right after 9/11 might forget just how insanely jingoistic and nationalistic like the entire country was. There was no opposition to any of this shit. It was just all over the TV. You had nu metal imploring you to join up so you could go, you know, shoot a brown guy because our freedom depends upon it, you know?
Yeah, I don't reflect on those years too often, but when I stopped to do so, it was a pretty wild ride. You know, pants were a lot bigger, and so was the fascism.
I mean, like, things are bad now, don't get me wrong, but at least there's alternative voices now saying, like, hey, all of this shit is horrifying. Whereas back then, you didn't really have a whole lot of that, at least not in any kind of mainstream discourse. If you didn't wear a flag pin, you would likely just lose your election by a landslide.
Yeah, I think it's not cool anymore. But I feel like back then it was a lot cooler to be a fucking patriot. And I allowed myself to listen to some Iced Earth tracks that I probably should have skipped.
I mean, you're still a big Iced Earth fan though, right?
No. No. Not really.
You're not bumping Dracula every day?
Oh, man, that's a bop. No, not necessarily. I can't express how much I loved that band when I was like in high school. Like, it's just, it was just a completely different segment of my life with a person I don't even associate or know anymore. It's just, back then I fucking loved the band, and if someone, you know, were to bring up Iced Earth, I would be positive about it. I would talk about positive live shows and everything like that. But God, just hearing John Schaefer think is just one of the most humiliating experiences that I just have to go through over and over again on the internet.
Yeah. You know, John Schaefer's in the news again as of like yesterday.
Because he can't help himself.
Of course not. He can't.
How could he not help himself this time?
I think his American flag bandana has just leaked into his brain at this point. The article's headline is, Iced Earth's John Schaefer says COVID-19 is, quote, a psychological warfare campaign more than it is a serious pandemic.
Okay, so like a different flavor of the shit that Sully was spouting.
Yeah, it's kind of like Sully was almost there, and John Schaefer is like cock deep in this.
Yeah,
like, no, man, no, this isn't even real. It's all fake, and they're taking over our minds, and there's a clicking sound on the receiver when I ever pick up the phone. So yeah. it's good to remind people that beyond being in Iced Earth, John Schaefer is also in Sons of Liberty, which is, it's exactly what you think it is.
Yeah, not to be mistaken for true Sons of Liberty.
And, you know, when he's not doing that, he's also showing up on Alex Jones's show.
I know I talked about this, like, on the last one, but I fucking hate Alex Jones. I hope he fucking dies really soon.
You don't love him, man? He's just, like, this cultural icon of just easy blockability on Twitter. He's just this guy that's just, I don't know, he's so a self-parody of himself. It's, like, this point, he might as well just be like a heel wrestler. It's just like kayfabe. Like, it's just, I'm sure when he goes out and gets a bagel, you really can't give him a running clothesline and have him deserve it at this point. He's just so silly. He's this character. He's this red-faced screaming villain on the internet, you know?
Well,
he's tortured families who had their kids killed in Sandy Hook, so you can
close. Yeah, I really can't fucking gut that one go.
And also, like, he's not just like a shitty villain on the internet because he lives in Austin. He's been like shit stirring on a weekly basis here. He shows up in his giant bulletproof pickup truck to march with a bunch of fucking assholes. Like, I gotta tell you, these InfoWars creeps show up to every protest to like film directly in your face they don't wear a mask. They get all in your face. They're trying to start shit. And like, they set a homeless man's shit on fire a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
Like, they are fucking evil. And so I know like every city has their own shit stirs. Like, Portland and Seattle have to deal with Proud Boys and shit. Like, I've got the fucking InfoWars chuds in my town.
Ugh.
Anyway.
Yeah, I always got to recall the fan base, and of course, Jesus Christ. But I mean, do you ever see him pay them, like slip some money under there to you know, make one of them pretend to be a liberal that he like chases away with his like big masculine 5'4" body?
I mean, like, I don't know exactly what they're up to, but every time that I go out in public, there's some shitbags with, like, the InfoWars camera crew trying to start shit up, and I know that they have little agents or whatever doing shit outside of their official t-shirts. I don't know. All of these guys, they look like they have some kind of genetic deficiency that turned them both extremely anemic and extremely evil.
I like how they're all in their early 30s, but look at least 20 years older than all of us.
Oh, they look awful, man. Like, there is something about this weird hatred that you've built up in your body that just turns your outside into ash.
Stephen Miller syndrome.
Exactly. Or who is that fucker that was writing for Tucker Carlson?
Yeah, the guy who just got fired after all of his racist and sexist posts somehow appeared in public. And that guy's like, what, 29? And he looks at least 50.
Looking like fucking baby grandpa. Like, it doesn't make any sense.
The fucking master race.
Benjamin Button. I don't know. I guess hate just ages you. Just rapidly.
Which is funny because I feel like I have a lot of hatred in my heart, but it's I'd like to think for a more righteous cause.
Yeah, it's righteous hatred.
Awesome compared to these guys. I look like fucking Brad Pitt over here.
Like if it's just like a black void of information level of judgment that you just have against like entire groups of human beings, I feel like that's the shit that just like makes you the Emperor from Star Wars. You know, it just rots you like the dark side.
Yeah, Palpatine was actually 31 years old.
That's right.
I lost my track here. We were
John Schaefer said some cool stuff, and he plays metal guitars, so we're back to John Schaefer. Go ahead.
John Schaefer did an interview with our friends over at Metal Sucks. They have their show called The Quarantine Cast. I don't really remember what John Schaefer's voice sounds like. I know I've heard it before because I've tortured myself by watching some of his clips on Alex Jones. So I'll just do an approximation of what he was saying. I believe this is a psychological warfare campaign on the people more than it is a serious pandemic. I think there's a lot more going on than meets the eye here. In fact, I know there is. Legitimate doctors and scientists are being censored and banned on YouTube constantly. It's unbelievable levels of fraud. I'm not saying we don't have a problem, but the human race has faced this kind of thing for millennia. It just goes on. We don't shut down the global economy. The death and unrest out of these decisions is going to be 1,000 times worse than the virus. I think you'll see it. You're seeing it now, and you will see it further when the supply chains break down everywhere, and we have a complete meltdown of the financial system that's going to lead to starvation and death, and the third world will suffer from everything that's going on here. We don't need to get into all this because I think anybody that knows me knows where I stand, and I don't trust the government. I don't trust the bureaucrats, not at all, because I've actually read their game plan. I knew this was coming. I wrote about it. I warned about it. People weren't paying attention, so it is what it is. I think that's where we have to start questioning the data, the way the tests are. All right, this is really hurting my voice. I can't do this anymore. Look, the information is out there. Turn off the television. I don't give a shit what network you're listening to. They're lying to you. And that's the reality of it. There's no excuse anymore in this day and age for people not to be able to figure out the tyranny that we're living under. There's just no excuse. You need to disconnect from mainstream media sources. And I'm not saying listen to Fox News, because it seems like in this country, it's Pepsi or Coke. You have two choices. It's a duopoly of mind control. And I don't go for either one of those situations. So I'm just telling you, man, there's so much evidence out there. And if you understand the game plan of the handlers themselves, then you'll understand why I wrote the things I did in Sons of Liberty, the things I did on Iced Earth's Dystopia and Plagues of Babylon, for that matter, because I've read their game plan, I've read their battle plan, I've read their books, so I know what they're up to. It's not rocket science. It's literally about putting pieces of the puzzle together to see what the controllers of our society and what their vision of the future is and how they're going to get to that point. And this is just another move in this, quote, plandemic. So there's a lot to it. I've done thousands of hours of research, and this is my understanding of the situation. This whole movement is being funded by a very small group of people that have very dark designs for the future of humanity and the world. This is what's happening. I mean, it's just clear. It affirms everything that I've studied for decades.
I just want to... First of all, this was the funniest shit I've ever heard, because most libertarians sound just like this. And then, you know, they put on a radio voice. But I don't think John Schaefer can read. The proof I have of this point, if anyone says, well, what do you mean? How could that possibly be? Is if you go back to their release, Iced Earth, horror show, a song you brought up earlier, Dracula. He was going off about how, like, he was doing these songs about, like, all these different horror stories and stuff. And, yeah, he just watched, like, the 90s Francis Ford Coppola, like, Keanu Reeves Dracula movie and wrote a song about it. Like, he pretty much cheated on his book report, you know? Like, if you're, the lyrics are just, like, about all that shit.
The sound was off, but I got the gist of it.
Yeah.
Man, I know I've said this before, but sometimes when we're going through, like, these unhinged rants, I see parts of this and I'm like, yes, I agree. And then the next sentence just shits it all up.
It's like, you said it before, but when someone says, I've done research, you know they're full of shit. They've looked stuff up online. They've watched things on YouTube from dubious sources at best.
I mean, he mentioned it himself. He's like, there are legitimate doctors on YouTube that are being censored. And it's like, okay, that's your research. You watch some shit online that was recommended to you after watching the fucking Ben Shapiro Capo Hour or whatever the fuck. And it's like, I know that you can wear scrubs on your fucking webcam and you can talk about how the coronavirus is fake or whatever, but it just doesn't match up with, like, refrigerator trucks full of dead bodies all over the country. How do you square that circle?
It's all fake. They're not really dead. The hospitals aren't overwhelmed. I went to a hospital's parking lot and it wasn't full, so clearly this is all fake.
It's like, okay, and if we are supposedly doing the research and we're looking at, you know, worldwide rates of infection, why is it that the U.S. fucked this up uniquely among all other countries? I mean, is there a hypothesis surrounding this?
I mean, I'd love to bring up the fact that, like, China went through this crisis. What was it, like, just about a full goddamn year before America did? And it was all over the news. And I mean, you try to bring up China to these people and it takes them off on a whole separate tangent. So it's like not even worth it.
Well, it's the Chinese virus. You know, you gotta understand that.
Concocted in a communist lab.
It's important you say the words Chinese virus like it was when you say radical Islam or whatever the fuck.
That's horrible. I would never say that. I would say Chinese flu.
Oh, yeah. There we go. I don't know, man. I agree with parts of this rant, like, hey, you should probably turn off your television. You probably shouldn't watch cable news. I think it's bad for you. It's full of bullshit.
Yeah, but the thing is, he's saying that without adding in watch OANN or watch Prager University clips on YouTube. He's not saying you need to get different multiple sources from different places and different perspectives. He's saying, I'm smart. I don't follow the mainstream. I'm not one of those girls. I'm a cool girl. You know what I mean? That's what he's doing, but for media consumption. And he thinks you should watch the Crazy Person channel that is showing clips of some fires in Minneapolis 2 months ago and saying it was yesterday.
Yeah. So it's a shame, you know. He has parts here that are good. Turn off the TV, and then the follow up is immediately shitting its pants.
You got to remember that he's also like a 3%er Oath Keeper type person. So
I know that he wears the 3%er patch, but I don't know if he's actually showing up to drill with Lenny and Carl in the woods or whatever.
Might.
I mean, I assume that he has other things to do, like appear on various right-wing podcasts.
I assume he has a gun that's unsecured in his car right now, so that means he's a 3%er.
Yeah, no, a handy tip is if you're looking to get your first weapon, and, you know, if you look at stock online, it's pretty bare pickings, and, you know, it's really expensive, just look for a truck that has that 3%er decal and break in the windows. Everything you need is right there.
Yeah, they don't think they need an alarm because, you know, they have a gun, and
it's not in the Constitution, bro.
Right.
So yeah, this guy is obviously, he's crazy. And I guess what bothers me is that there is very little this country has ever been, for the most part, in agreement about. I think something like 80% of polled American people believe that COVID is a very serious concern. And yet, like, it's just these fringe idiots take up all of the fucking air with this kind of thing. So there's no room for people saying, like, normal people saying, like, yes, this sucks. I'm afraid of getting sick, or my friends and family are getting sick and dying. I'm afraid to go to work. We need some kind of assistance so that we can just stay home for like a month and stop this shit. You know, there's no room for that.
The loudest voices in the room are the ones that reach the most ears, unfortunately, and the dumbest people are oftentimes the loudest.
That's true. That's why I have a podcast. when's he going to get on tour again with Sons of Liberty?
As soon as physically possible, man. I know Rip Rowan isn't in the band
anymore, but he can go to North Dakota and play a show right now if he wants.
Yeah, they God damn it. Do you want to give us some background?
Because I just did this awesome segue, you mean?
You killed it, bro.
Awesome segue. Remember Great White? Some people might remember them from their hit song in the 80s, whatever it was called. They don't remember what it was. You also may remember them for murdering 100 people, including their own guitarist, and injuring over 200 people in the Station nightclub fire in 2003.
That was in Rhode Island, right?
That was in Rhode Island. I'm about 15 minutes away from where it used to be before they raised it, and it's now a memorial.
Yeah, I remember hearing the story back then, and it seemed fucking horrific, where you're stuck in a very small club that doesn't have any kind of proper safety precautions, and you got some fucking over-the-hill hair metal band lighting off fire effects in an indoor club. I try to imagine that exact scenario and the sheer terror you must feel being burned alive and unable to escape. And then I think, well, how do you one-up that? And I'm glad that the Great White thought about that.
Their bloodlust was apparently not satiated in 2003 because they played a concert in North Dakota that had zero restriction in place. No social distancing, no masks. There's pictures and videos online of people pressed right up against the stage, shoulder to shoulder with other people, rocking out to Great White.
One time I went to a show with a flu. I just remembered this all of a sudden.
Yeah, but like a normal flu, right?
A normal show, too. Like a show with good music.
I mean,
that wasn't fucking Great White. I want to think on this. What was Great White's hit? What was it?
I couldn't even tell you, bro. That's well before my time.
Is this love that I'm feeling? No, what's that?
That was White Snake.
White Snake. It's a different white. It's probably like better a band. White lion.
Once bitten, twice shy.
Oh.
We have one listener in his 50s just yelling at his computer the answer.
You goddamn kids, you weren't there. I don't know. Their name is synonymous as a punchline with like dying to see a shitty over the hill band. So I'm glad that they're following up on what they're known for, I guess. I can't imagine putting my life at risk so I could go see this band, but I guess if you're in North Dakota, you probably don't have many shows come your way. I don't know.
I guess. If for people that are too young to remember this or like international listeners, you can go on YouTube and find news reports of this. There's lots of video of it. It is truly horrifying. People literally get stuck in the door because everyone rushed and like had to be yanked out by people outside. And the band not only continued after that, there's two versions of Great White, like LA Guns. There's like Jack Russell's Great White and then some other version because apparently North Dakota and all these other places that get zero live entertainment just need Great White that badly.
Yeah.
The band's manager at the time ended up pleading guilty and only spent like 3 or 4 years in jail. The nightclub owners, the same thing. They pled no contest, only a couple years in jail. And nothing happened to Great White. Like, they were not like really held responsible for it.
I remember a coworker was telling me about like this trampling event at a soccer stadium like in the 90s. It was just this huge disaster, and the person that designed this concourse that like killed these people like killed himself like out of the insane guilt that he was feeling over this whole thing. And just these small-time grifters here in America kill people with impunity, maybe get a couple of days in jail, and they're like, well, back to doing the shadiest thing on earth. I don't get it. Nobody feels shame.
You don't have to anymore. You don't even have to apologize anymore. You just say, I'm sorry if people were offended.
That's it. We talk about like how fucked up it is trying to make a dollar in the music industry. How like rich were the returns at the tail end of the hair metal era, where you can do club shows going into 2020 with two versions of the same band that had one hit and still, I guess, make a living off this?
I don't want to think about it.
I mean, I guess there's just people who really stop listening to music after that era died, and they go to one concert a year, one concert every 2 years, and they're like, hell yeah, let's go see Once Bitten, Twice Shy for $10, 10 minutes away from me. That's my only guess. I don't think people are really craving Great White.
Do you think it's really, like, only $10? I wonder. I'm so curious as to, like, what the tickets for something like this would cost.
Let's say 20. 20 seems fair.
That's probably fair. It could go either way. It could be, like, depressingly cheap or, like, depressingly exorbitant.
I would hope they would know enough to, like, keep prices low to actually get people in there.
What's interesting about... I'm sorry, go ahead.
Do you think they made people sign a waiver to, like, go to this concert?
This was an outdoor concert, so I doubt it. And it's North Dakota, and the governor's all like, you don't need to wear a mask. You don't need to do anything. So it's like... Not that I want to defend Great White, but it's up to the state and up to the local governments to like make all these decisions. They shouldn't be playing any shows now. They shouldn't be bringing people together. But like the state's not doing anything, so Great White, by law, like didn't do anything wrong. They're just awful, terrible people that are going to, you know, kill more people.
Right, and the ethical line, of course, being what's legal, right?
Yeah, yeah, if it's legal, you can do it. There is no other
slavery
thought.
Was legal, right?
Yeah, yeah. I just North Dakota. You know, you should be ashamed about that fact alone that you live there. It's just north. It's not even South Dakota. It's the other
South Dakota is the one with Mount Rushmore, right?
That's right. You can go and you can see you know the biggest monument we have to take down of all. But I don't know if there's a river close enough to hold that bad boy. So
just thousands and thousands of people dragging it to the closest river to dump it in.
just me by myself.
Just so that they can tweet the video out, the 10-second shaky cam video. And we're going, yay!
Just me with a grappling hook and old Abe's nose just going, come on, guys! Come on! Pull!
Felling a huge number of trees so you can have the lumber to roll it along with like ropes. I think that would be actually super tight.
I've actually been looking at photos of Mount Rushmore, and there's just like a straight just shot of gravel and slate rock like under where they destroyed this mountain to put up this like giant white guy monument. And you know, I really think you could just roll that motherfucker right down if you were able to get it off in one clean chunk.
I mean, we got to talk to an engineer about this one, but yeah, it seems like they did a real shit ass job on this.
No, we take it down how it was put there. Explosives, you know. It's historically respectful of the tradition. So
it's what they would have wanted.
Right. We'll do it the next 4th of July so that we can get away with it. We're whites, and the FBI guys on our phones are just like, yeah, here's a bunch of white guys with a podcast going off. Who cares? We'll just chalk this one up to the recycling bin. But back to Great White. All of you guys listening right now, even if there is a show in your shitty, shitty, boring area, I know that you're frustrated. I know that you're sad. I know that you miss going to shows. I know that you miss mosh pits for some reason and beer being spilled on you and sweat being all over your shirt that doesn't belong to you. You know, I get that that's really cool, but just continue the break. Just stop, you know, listen to music where it sounds good in your house. Just don't go to the show. Don't do it. You don't have to.
Yeah. I guess I don't really miss shows as much as I thought I would, but I have missed a number here. You know, Judas Priest just rescheduled into late next year for coming to Austin.
I mean, I've had shows that I really, really wanted to go to, just so I could say that I saw the band live. Like, Harakiri for the Sky from Austria, they've never had a U.S. show, and they were going to have one in June in Boston. I was going to go, deal with every Soliana on the Mass Pike to go fucking go there and watch these guys perform in, I don't know, the Middle East somewhere that's not that great. But I was really looking forward to that, and it didn't happen. But it didn't really ruin my life. They'll come back. They'll try again. It's just going to be a while.
Yeah. There is also the possibility that, like, COVID is so endemic to the U.S. that it, like, never goes away, and we're just, like, a pariah among the rest of the world.
We're just, like, a leper colony.
Kind of, yeah. we really, really boxed this one up, fellas.
We, like, all three of us did something.
We're like the Three Stooges. We're just like, well, uh-oh.
Yeah. us just bungling around in a Chinese laboratory.
So
I had COVID on my fingers and I poked Breno in the eyes, and that's how it started.
Just eat the bat soup, Jordan. It's like anything else. You ever had chicken soup? It's bat soup. Who cares? Clap. Hits you in the face.
Yeah, just a large-breasted old dowager looking on unapprovingly.
I'd watch that show.
Same. No, I mean, like, we, the royal we, is in our failed fucking leadership, this failed fucking country.
Just under the flag we should all be so proud of, just we royally.
Like, a while back, I was looking into what it would take to immigrate to a different country.
Did you now?
I was, yeah. Because, you know, I was like, maybe this is a thing that I could do with my life. And, you know, I bet that a lot of our listeners have maybe had that passing thought go through their heads, but have never actually sat down and seriously thought about it. So I was looking into it, like, okay, just the closest one. Well, that's the other closest one, Canada.
not the closest one. That's okay. Let's go north.
I wanted to get healthcare. and Canada, like, so you basically, and I'm sure that this works the same, pretty much everywhere. I was talking with a friend who's an immigrant from Nigeria, and he had a similar process immigrating to the United States. It's like a point-based system where they look at all of your attributes, they look at your character sheet, and they add or subtract points based on your values. Like, for example, if you're over the age of 30, you start losing a hell of points.
Yeah. So what about that's your like magic and strength and luck there? You know.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. You
Dark
really
Souls
have to
character creator.
You need to up your charm levels if you hope to have a chance here.
Right.
Turns out Canada doesn't need more podcasters.
Yeah, that's the problem. Like, I was wondering what I could do with, like, a nursing degree. It's like, yeah, that gives you a few extra points, but you lose all of those points because you're 32 years old, so you're fucked, bro.
And, I mean, you really can't even have a slap shot, so what's the point?
That's true.
Have you ever been ice skating?
Do I seem like a guy that's ever been ice skating?
You never know. They do have professional hockey teams in Texas. There are ice rinks. Maybe you went one time. You put your dungarees over the skates, adjusted your hat, and, you know, roped in a defenseman or something.
Yeah, no, I've never done it. I guess there are theoretically ice rinks in Texas. I've never been to one.
I live in Massachusetts where there's natural ice for, like, 60% of the year. I've never been ice skating.
Yeah. What about you? You were a hockey guy, right?
I played hockey for about 20 years.
Yeah.
You're pretty good on your skates?
I haven't skated in a while. It would take me about 2 minutes, and then yes.
Yeah.
Well, maybe you ought to look into to moving over to the Great White North.
Okay, sure.
They're like, oh, he's lost points on age, but his icing abilities are just through the roof.
This might be just hearsay, but I believe probably one of the easier English-speaking countries that you can expat to if you're an American is Ireland. I mean, healthcare, sure, but you got, like, you know, shaky conservative abortion laws and things like that you got to consider.
Yeah, I feel like they've made some real strides in that regard, though. I mean, they're going in a better direction than the United States is.
Up instead of down, you know. You got to give them credit where credit's due.
Just immigrating to Ireland and immediately joining up with some IRA groups. Like, yeah, down with the crown.
Yeah. Have you ever heard it, herded sheep, Joe?
No, Texas is known for goats mostly.
Can you hold your whiskey?
Not anymore.
Oh, you can't. I don't know, man. No sheep, no whiskey. You know, that point sheet is pretty much it. You know, if you don't have those check boxes, I don't know.
Yeah. So you're stuck here. You were born here. You'll die here. You might get disease.
You might die from going to a concert now.
Yeah. So pretty lame stuff, if you ask me. No, I don't want to be all hot takey, but it's pretty lame.
If you're in a band, though, things are working out pretty well because you can get federal government loans for your small business. If you're, say, in a band like Guns N' Roses or Pearl Jam or the Eagles.
If we I don't think there's a ton of oversight into these PPP loans. Do you think if we just claim that we have like 12 employees that we could get $1 million from these guys?
Without question. I mean, like, record labels got stuff, too. Like Equal Vision and Metal Blade, they all got loans as well, and they don't have that many employees. I think Metal Blade is like 12.
Key word here, fella, is loan. So,
no, dude, like a lot of these shits aren't even required to be paid back. Yeah, like the really? Majority are not required to be paid back.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's get a fucking LLC on that there, TOVH, and we'll just go open trading too. We'll like be open to the stock market, selling.
Well, yeah, might as well.
Yeah.
So like, I guess if you're a band like Green Day, you probably have a huge staff that you need to pay.
Yeah, I think they're saying like crew members and like all these canceled tours are lost income. But like, you're telling me Green Day can't go to the ATM and take out a little bit of money and just give it to them?
I guess a lot of businesses, a lot of individuals could easily weather the storm. They have enough assets built up. They're fine. But when there's free money, why wouldn't you take it?
So here's some of the names that were also included that received these loans. Tool.
Okay.
So much for your libertarianism.
Yeah.
Nickelback.
They're Canadian.
I mean, you got to have 5 garages for your 5 Lamborghinis, man. You're going to need those loans.
Look at this photograph, man. I don't know what to tell you. Imagine Dragons.
I don't know what that is.
Incubus. Slipknot.
Now, they do have a huge headcount.
They're
definitely a small business. Alone. Yeah.
They are literally a small business. My Chemical Romance.
Weird.
Wilco. Weezer. Oh. Cheap Trick.
Weezer.
Tim McGraw. Chainsmokers.
Oh, fuck you.
Disturbed.
Fuck you.
Gary Clark Jr. Papa Roach.
Oh, no, come on. They're not. They've been out of business. Can we just say that?
Yeah, Cheap Trick especially, too.
Like, what the fuck?
They don't do anything.
Wiz Khalifa, French Montana, Lil Jon.
Hey!
Again, Rascal I don't think he Flats. Does anything anymore anyway.
Does he do anything?
Rascal Flatts, Chris Stapleton, Luke Combs, Kip Moore, Jason Isbell, and a bunch more.
You know, for all his, like, down-home country bullshit, Jason Isbell might be faking the funk here, taking that big government loan.
Over 600,000 recipients received these loans, and over 50 musicians and groups.
I don't know, man. It just kind of sucks. Like, everyday people are, like, struggling to pay the rent or not able to pay the rent at all. Like, not getting the assistance they need and just giving out billions and trillions of dollars to, like, Boeing and Luke Bryan. This is fucking hell.
Like, remember when your favorite local restaurant closes down in the next month that Tool got a cool $100,000 because?
Yeah, I mean, all of the bars that I like to go to, all the restaurants that I like to go to, all the venues that I like to go to, that shit is either gone or not going to make it another 2 months. Like, yeah, what is
go ahead.
What is the point? Like, the the shit that we come back to is nothing but like every block is a Bank of America and a Denny's.
Because we're incredibly stupid and incredibly corrupt.
I hate it.
It's like, Denny's is going to go under if you're not going to have like drunk metalheads at 3 a.m. having to eat something after the show.
I miss my pancake puppies, man. I'll tell you.
It's fucking. I don't know. Grand slam joke. I don't have anything. I don't know. I'm like watching Epstein's Filthy Rich, and there's a lot of this. Go ahead.
The Netflix one, right?
The Netflix documentary, right? And there's like, of course, so many disgusting things that go on within. But probably one of the most chilling things of all is that if you just like have enough money, you'll fucking get away with anything.
Yeah. You want to know the weirdest thing about that Netflix Epstein thing?
Tell me.
It was developed with James Patterson, that writer that has like 10 million books that he ghostwrites.
Oh, yeah. No, I know. Yeah.
Who is best friends with Bill Clinton, who was on the Lolita Express 27 times.
Yeah, like, that's kind of a weird circular thing that occurs there. That's very odd. I didn't think of that. Because James Patterson wrote that President is Missing book. Wasn't it like about Bill Clinton?
Yeah, it was loosely is a loose adaptation of Mario is Missing, starring Bill Clinton.
So Al Gore was Luigi?
Yeah, exactly. You had to like learn fractions to find Bill Clinton.
The best Mario game, hands down. Best
it's
Mario.
Me, Al Gore.
Yeah.
It's at this point you just have to assume that every rich and powerful person is like, you know, a secret pedo. You're probably right. Or at the very least, they know these people. They were in the same parties or whatever.
I'm just going to assume anyone with a an income of over $250,000, pedophile.
Yeah. I mean, there's probably a big difference between, like, you know, some ambulance-chasing lawyer that pulls in that much and...
No.
Like, I mean, they're all bad.
No. Because in order to pull that much, you have to be a defense lawyer, and hey, come on now.
Wait, which one is the? I can't get. I'm too stupid to know the law. Which one's the good one? Which one's the bad one?
I mean, there's nothing good about prosecutors.
Right, they're bad ones.
They're all bad. Defense lawyers are the ones that do everything they possibly can to make sure that, like, you know, serial rapists don't have to go to jail. And
well, I mean, like the public defender, that's the good one.
Right. The public defender is just your on deck lawyer for everybody who can't afford one. So they do most of the work. So if you want to do the best work and make the least money, be a public defender as a lawyer.
Yeah, that's it.
Right. Correct.
But
you still have to do the work to, you know, make sure that the serial rapist who can't afford otherwise doesn't go to jail.
I mean, did you ever see Cape Fear?
No.
Oh, well, I mean, sometimes, you know, those guys, they do a bad job of their case intentionally. So the serial rapist goes to jail and then the serial rapist teaches himself how to read in prison and learns to read so good that he learns the entire law and also how to like be superhumanly strong so he can come after your family.
Hell yeah.
So that's just a threat within the. Within the industry that they don't talk about a lot.
Right. Not to mention that sometimes the public defender will purposely do a bad job to make sure that if you're found with like a bong in your Toyota Corolla and you're a 17-year-old kid, you have to go to jail for like 9 years because some judge has, you know, some money in a private prison and
fuck.
Your family is ruined for, you know, the duration of your life because of it.
Well, hey, at least that guy finally got some consequences after enriching himself off the misery of others for like 20 years.
Yeah, an angry mom yelled at him. Something metal, yeah. Metal, riffs, you know, caveman chugs. What's some good caveman chugs we heard this week? Any good music we heard recently?
I like the little 2-song collection of demos from Idle Hands that came out this week.
Idle Hands is pretty cool. I saw them live with Jordan, actually. King Diamond, right?
Yep.
They were radical badical.
Those aren't new songs though. Those are recorded from that album and they just never did anything with them. Yeah, which is why it sounds just like every other song on there.
Yeah, they were leftovers. Rope Sect put out a new single that sounds exactly like every other Rope Sect single that's been dribbling out for 3 years. So I'm starting to lose enthusiasm for that one.
Yeah, what's the deal with that? Why do they do, like, here's two songs, here's a song. It's a, just put out an album.
And I finally listened to the full Inter Arma covers album.
Oh, yeah? The Nirvana cover?
Purple Rain.
How is that?
It's fucking awful, dude. Jesus Christ, the Purple Rain cover alone is a lol factory. Like, why did you fucking record this?
Purple Rain!
People were pretty hyped on this covers thing when that Neil Young song came out, and we talked about it at length. So I'm glad other people are coming around to not liking this.
I hated that Neil Young cover. So, fortunately, like, they didn't do the the harsh vocals on all of this, but it still does not work in the least bit.
When I was working on the assembly line this week, I'm not allowed to listen to music or do anything like that. So I just have lots of time to think. And it just hit me like a ton of bricks that I've always really regretted not bringing up Ozzy Osbourne and Cold Chamber doing Shock the Monkey as like a metal cover.
Man, I like that one.
That's a bad
monkey.
Cover. Yeah, the monkey. Monkey. Yeah, the monkey. The monkey. It's a bad Shock song from both ways. It was a bad song originally. It's a bad song no matter who covers it.
I don't much like the original, but I do kind of get a kick out of the Cold Chamber one. Just, it's very silly.
I guess so. And I guess if silliness is your, your driving force for entertainment in that regard, sure. Yeah, that makes sense. I think more metal should be silly. I kind of miss that.
Yeah, we no longer have songs about big trucks, and that's a huge loss.
Yeah, absolutely. It's like, I feel like I listened to folk metal for a lot of years just because the world was hard and I just wanted to be silly for like my 20s or something. Instead of thinking about things that are hard, like, you know, this systemic abuse of entire groups of people in our nation, or how all you need is an immeasurable amount of money to just get away with literally everything and own every piece of the government that could punish you. It's like, really, I just wanted to think about, like, you know, Finnish dudes with like big hats and bagpipes just making bad, bad, objectively bad music.
You know, we all need a little escape. Sometimes we have to escape to a strange Finnish man's sauna. That's where we feel peace.
Hey, now, hold on. That's not what I'm talking about. Okay. Winter Sun is a very serious, very cool, extremely not dorky band to like.
You've been on their tour bus, you can confirm.
Yeah, that was a thing, wasn't that, Jordan? Wasn't that a thing?
And you had to take your shoes off.
I had to take my shoes off. It all comes around, you know, to just like, my life is just like this karmic cycle of humiliation that I just must face over and over again. It's like, I can't even describe it. It's like some kind of, like one of those really grindy video games like Dark Souls. It's just like, I have to go collect my experience at a point where, I just died inside the first time, you know?
I wonder if, Friedrich Nietzsche would have liked Bloodborne.
Friedrich Nietzsche probably would have been all over Bloodborne to a point where he probably just wouldn't even have had to have been Nietzsche.
Yeah.
All the Friedrich Nietzsches of the world right now have wasted all their time playing Bloodborne.
That's fine. We don't need more.
Yeah, exactly. They just go on the comment section of the internet and, you know, write it all there.
Yeah, the greatest literary minds of our time are probably like bitching at somebody in the comments of Blabbermouth right now.
Do we think that you know, John Schaefer is like potentially a really great literary mind, and that with all his research that he might just like put out like the world's next greatest philosophical masterpiece.
From a Blabbermouth mouth. Some would say article. Ted Kaczynski's manifesto was a pretty prescient piece of work. So maybe.
Yeah. Boys, I think we're going to call this one time. We're just kind of at that point, aren't we? Just sort of feels that way.
We're starting to get slappy, as they say.
Yeah, yeah.
just disregard everything that we said on this episode.
Yeah, just literally the entire episode. I hope you listened, but not really.
It's all parody.
Yeah, right.
All right, we'll see you next time.
Irony is the greatest excuse to stay metal.
Don't listen to John Schaefer. Bye.
Whenever you're ready, go right ahead.
One second. I've got a puppy right outside.
Sad puppy.
Yeah, one second, I'll be right back.
My neighbors, my downstairs neighbors from me, they like disappeared for 4 months.
Hey buddy, you gotta stop.
Ah, shut the fuck up! I'm doing a dramatic reading!